performance of this service, nor the limitations provided by this service. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mayor Carter.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Swatman.
Present.
Councilmember Baldwin. Councilmember Davis.
Present.
Councilmember Fullerton.
Here.
Councilmember Hubler.
Here.
Councilmember McClymonds. Councilmember Rock.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Swatman.
Thank you. I'd make a motion to excuse Councilmember Baldwin from this evening's council meeting.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor of excusing Councilmember McClymonds from this council meeting?
So moved first, so moved, and then second?
Sorry, just by, I skipped ahead there, apparently. Councilmember Baldwin from this council meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passes.
What about Councilmember?
I don't know if he's going to be late or not, or.
Okay, so we'll wait a few minutes.
We can always excuse him later if we want to.
Yep.
Sounds good. Okay, we have two agenda modifications. First being AB 25-40, ordinance D 25-40, which is an ADU being added to full council issues as item C. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and seconded. All in favor of adding AB 25-40, ordinance D 25-40, to full council issues, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Very good. Thank you. And there he is.
Evening, sorry.
That's all right. It's wonderful to see you. Second is adding a closed executive session, RCW 42.30.140-1G. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion and second. All in favor of adding executive session to the agenda, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes. All right, seeing there are no public hearings, we'll go on to citizen comments. This is your time to address the council on city business. For those attending virtually, please click the raise hand icon at the top of your screen if you would like to address the council. Anyone with the raised hand icon or who called in, your mics and cameras will be enabled. You will need to turn on your video microphones on your end if you are wanting to be seen or heard. We will start with those who are in person and move to virtual comments afterwards. You have 5 minutes. When the timer goes off, that is your signal that the 5 minutes is up. State your name and, if you would like, your address for the record, please. Anyone? Oh, okay. We'll now start those that are virtual. You have 5 minutes. State your name and, if you would like, your address for the record, please. Looks like
Lisa.
Lisa?
Yes, hi. Sorry, trying to get all of this figured out. I am Lisa Tolleson, William Multicourt, and I am the race director of the Bonnie Lake Labor of Love Triathlon. That happens every Saturday before Labor Day. This is our 16th in this event. A little more background about this event. The first race was in 2009. It was championed by Jim Bouchard, who was at the time the director of the Bonnie Lake Chamber of Commerce. He worked with Voodoo Racing to start a triathlon at Allen York Park. In 2023, Trio Multisport, that would be myself, took over all of Voodoo Racing's multisport events as they retired and moved to Arizona. This included the Bonnie Lake Labor of Love Triathlon. So when we took over this event, we knew that there was a partnership with the Chamber Collective. In 2023, they had just gotten a new director at the beginning of the year, and we were both excited to work together. However, the new director stepped down sometime in the early summer after I was left without much support from them. However, there was still expectations for Trio Multisport to share profits for the event. At the time, we thought we were reimbursing the Chamber Collective for the cost of the city police and the permitting fees. In 2024, with Guy Mahan at the helm temporarily, he not only helped before the event, but at the event. The Chamber's membership directory also contributed about 20 hours in work prior to the event to help set up the volunteering for that event. So in 2025, during the discussion of Trio Multisport profit sharing with the Chamber Collective, they raised the point, they meaning the Chamber, that they were taking on costs of the city police and the permitting fees. Because of this, they said they deserved a higher percentage of the profit. Because around this time, I had a conversation with Jim Bouchard, and he pointed out that there was actually an interlocal agreement made between the city and the Chamber. The first one was made, City of Bonnie Lake and the Chamber Collective. First one started in 2017 and was renewed, I think, 2020 or 2021 during COVID. And the city, the agreement would be that the city would cover the cost of the police and the permitting fees for the Chamber, and the Chamber would in turn provide membership and a couple other things. This was quite a surprise to me, as after having worked on it for 2.5 years, I never knew that this existed, this interlocal agreement. And I had, up until that point, been thinking that we were paying that as part of our profit sharing. The lack of transparency and unequitable profit sharing, the workload, has made us realize that we would like 100% control of the event. The only way that we see we can do this is to request that the city not renew the agreement when it expires at the end of this calendar year. Trio Multisport would be willing to pay for the Bonnie Lake police officers. By doing this, we'd essentially be paying the money that the city hasn't received since 2017 or before. How much more time do I have?
Minute 41, sounds like.
Okay.
If she's on behalf of an organization, then do they get 10 minutes? Point of order?
I don't need 10 minutes.
She's
I just
good.
Have two more. I do believe I because I'm talking about transparency, I want to be transparent with the council. At this point in time, we are not sure what the status of the event is for 2026. That is because we are trying to figure out traffic solutions for an issue that is occurring during the event on the bike route. At this time, we have not figured out an appropriate solution, and the question of the safety of the bike riders, the patience of the traffic, of the drivers, and all of these things are having to be considered. So I'm asking for you to not renew the interlocal agreement for 2026, but I'm also letting you know at this point in time, I don't know what the status is of the event. The main issue we are concerned with is the safety of the riders. And the traffic that is occurring now, it's on 214th Avenue, was not experienced 16 years ago when the route was developed. So we are having to take that into consideration and trying to find alternate routes, trying to find alternate schedules. We're trying everything to make it happen, but we're not 100% sure we can say that we safely can put on the event without any questions.
Okay. Thank you for that information. I think it's new for a lot of us as far as what all was going on there. So we appreciate it. I look forward to probably hearing a little bit more about that as we go on down the line in regards to that. So thank you, Ms. Tolleson. All right. Anyone else for the good of the order? All right. Not seeing anyone. All right, the city will now disable all video and microphones for those attending virtually. We have no correspondence. Next is committee reports. Finance Committee, please.
Finance Committee did not meet this evening.
Okay. Thank you. CDC, please.
Yes, we met on May 20th at 5 p.m. upstairs, and we discussed AB 2542, motion AB 2542, the Senior Center Local Projects Agreement, and Ken Gill, our city engineer, was our main presenter. He is here tonight, so we do have this agenda item on the full council. We also discussed AB 25-39, motion R25-39, on-call land use planning service contract. Jason Sullivan, our public service director, was the presenter on that, and we did put that on full council, I believe. It was on the consent agenda because there was no money with that. It's just a contract. We have AB 25-40, ordinance D 25-40, and this is House Bill 1337, accessory dwelling units, which we did add to the full council tonight on the agenda modifications. We also talked about AB 25-22, ordinance D 25-22, and this is the sign code amendment for governmental signs. And this was basically just to give Leslie Harris, our assistant to the city administrator, and Jason Sullivan presented this. And this was basically to allow the city to sign a contract. That's a contract with, it's just the ability to...
It was just amending the ordinance to clarify that a governmental sign doesn't lose its classification as a governmental sign, even if it has sponsorship.
Perfect, yeah. So if we put, we can allow the city to use government signs for Bonnie Lake, but also we can get sponsors which will pay for those signs and allow those to be free to the city. So, but they're still going to be considered a government sign. So we just needed to change the ordinance. So that is what we talked about. And we also had a brief half a second where we're going to change our JAC meeting, our Joint Advisory Committee with the Sumner Sewer. We're going to change that from July 1st to July 7th.
Second CDC.
Yeah. Oh, the 14th probably, right? I don't think we talked about the date. We just moved it down. The 15th, correct. Okay, so we're going to move it from July 1st to our second CDC meeting on July 15th, and we're going to change the time from 4:30 to 4 o'clock so that we can still have our regularly scheduled CDC meeting that night as well. And that is what we discussed. A mouthful.
Thank you.
Speaking.
Public Safety Committee, please.
The Public Safety did not meet tonight. Our next meeting is on June 10th at 3:45 in the Justice Center on the second floor. Public is always welcome.
Great, thank you. Do we have any other reports? Nope, not this time. Okay. We now have the consent agenda. Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? And carries. Thank you. We do have two full council issues. Madam Clerk.
This is item A, which is motion M25-42. The council motion would be to authorize the mayor to sign a grant with Washington State Department of Commerce to rehabilitate the Bonnie Lake Senior Center.
So moved.
Yep.
Second.
Motion and second. And any discussion? Councilmember McClymans.
Yeah, so I would just like to direct the council's attention to page 49 of the packet. I thought it was 49. Maybe it was 79. Yeah, 79, I'm sorry. On page 79 is the breakdown of the cost and the spending. I think I was kind of shocked and taken back by the fact that out of $750,000, we're only applying 48% of those funds to actual improvements to the facility. 46% is going to construction management, contingencies, general conditions, escalation, right? And that seems to me, you know, I think we need to pass this. This needs to go forward. The senior citizens obviously get it, but I'm still trying to work my way through these proportions, right? Can the city, how can the city do better, right, to apply more of the taxpayers' dollars to the real situation?
Thank you. Any, Deputy Mayor Swatman?
Yeah, hopefully. I appreciate CDC's work on digging into the details of that. Councilmember McClellan is always good about ferreting out any possible savings we can get out of there. These are, looks like the long-awaited improvements that we've been waiting for the senior center for actually almost years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What they're looking at, yeah. So excellent to get those finally done for the seniors out there. They've been very patient and very passionate at times in getting their request move forward. So hopefully this will work out well. It is kind of interesting, though, that you point out, Councilmember McClellan, about the construction management. I thought that was just a percentage of the total project usually or something. Is that what we're working on?
Mm-hmm.
That's,
well, it's the cascading effect of contingencies, construction management, mm-hmm. General conditions, escalations, permitting fees, you know, all those mm-hmm. things kind of combine together to take a lot of the of funds away from the actual focus. So, and I'm sorry, I didn't, you know, we need to be grateful to Senator Fortunato, who worked hard to get us these funds. So
okay.
Definitely, yeah.
Director Sullivan, did you want to say something?
Just a couple of things. It's important to note that this is our working budget so that we know we can deliver what we're promising for the grant. The only thing the council is committing to tonight is signing the grant to accept the $630,000 from the state. Once we have a bid out and award a bid, then we'll know specifically what those different line items look like. It's probably conservative to make sure we can guarantee what we're promising to deliver. The second is the $41,000 in permit fees is not going to be required. I think the only permit we're going to be required to pay for is one with L&I, and we think that's around $1,500. No more than $1,500. So we're going to, that $41,000 that's in for permitting, that's going to probably end up about a $40,000 savings. So in talking with City Engineer Gill, our plan is to bid it with both the external and internal painting. That came up, those two together are about $56,000. We've identified $40,000-ish in savings already, and then we'll see through the bid process if we can pick up the other approximately $15,000 so that we can get the painting on the inside and outside done as well.
Excellent. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Any other comments? Okay. All those in favor of M25-42, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes. Our next item, Madam Clerk.
This is item B, which is motion M25-45. The council motion would be to create a Veterans Memorial Ad Hoc Committee.
Motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion on this item? Deputy Mayor Swatman.
Yeah, I'd just like to, again, thanks to Councilmember Baldwin for bringing this issue up again, and it's been out there for a very long period of time. Many people and groups in different places have contributed and did a lot of work for it, so I think there's a necessary little bit of a hook into the city there to maybe have a little, you know, put it on the front burner. I know that we're lucky enough to have a mayor that's actually a veteran that's interested in it, so that's really great to have, and maybe that they can, you know, take a look at what's out there. It seems to be a positive, so I don't see any negatives, you know, real ultra light touch with any kind of staff time required, but it definitely moves the issue forward, and hopefully they can get something done. So I'm very supportive of this particular project.
Great, thank you. Any other discussion? Councilmember Fullerton.
Yeah, I spoke with Councilmember Baldwin this week, and I believe that I will be joining the ad hoc team as a council member as well. And I know that she's very adamant that she definitely wants to work with Public Services Director Jason Sullivan as well. So that is an absolute must. And that, I believe, is the only opinion I have.
All right. Thank you. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor of motion M25-45, say aye.
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 Those opposed? All right. Motion passes. All right. We will now adjourn the council meeting.
You got item C.
Oh, sorry.
Inserted, sorry.
A big one. Thank you.
AB, I have one.
I have to go back and find it. I don't see it on my.
The ADU one?
The ADU.
Dash 40, AB 25.
I'll just turn it over to Madam Clerk.
Perfect. This is item C, which was the agenda modification for AB 25-40, D25-40. The council motion would be to amend the Bonnie Lake Municipal Code regarding accessory dwelling units and update regulations governing accessory dwelling units.
Okay.
Right.
Discussion only.
Discussion only.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we need a motion then, or are we good?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Councilmember Fullerton.
So we brought this forward because I realized that our council meeting our council workshop June 3rd is going to be canceled. And I know that the Planning Commission is planning on meeting about this very situation here on June 4th. So I would like the staff to have a direction on where the council would like them to go. This could be adopting or making changes to an ordinance. So I feel like this was too important for the three CDC committee members to make this decision on our own. I felt this was a necessity to bring it forward to full council before the Planning Commission meets so that they can have a direction in which the council would like to go with this. So I'll send that over to Public Services Director, I always forget what your title is, Jason, I'm sorry, Sullivan, to kind of discuss what our thoughts are, where we're heading with this.
So we are a little bit out of order the way we've been doing this. This is kind of has large policy questions. So we've been working with CDC. Typically, we go to the Planning Commission, have the public hearing, and then bring it to council. But because of the large policy implications of this ordinance, we actually started working with CDC earlier in the process. The genesis of this ordinance has to do with House Bill 1337, which was passed in the 2024 legislative cycle. That House legislation amended the Growth Management Act to require that all cities subject to the Growth Management Act, which we are, allow for two ADUs on every single lot that's zoned for single-family homes. So that is, and there's a number of configurations that could be. That could be a house with two attached ADUs. That could be a house with two detached ADUs. It could be a house with an attached ADU and a detached ADU. Or it could be a detached building that has two ADUs in it. In talking with CDC, that legislation also amended a number of other things that we could no longer require. Like we had to allow them to condominiumize them. We cannot require owner occupancy. And we basically, from a broad policy standpoint, whatever process we use for single family homes, we have to use those for ADUs. So we couldn't say, well, for ADUs, you have to do public notice, unless we also want to say, for all single family homes, you also have to do public notice, right? So they kind of tied those two processes together. That has made us go back and look at our ordinances to see how we want to deal with this. In talking with CDC early on, the consensus of the CDC, and it was not a unanimous agreement, it was kind of a consensus, was that we wanted to stick to as close to what the current rules allowed because of some concerns around the second ADU. So we took advantage or enacted some of the optional things that the state law allows us to enact. So under the proposed legislation, you cannot have the second ADU if you're on septic. You could not have the second ADU if your lot contains undevelopable critical areas. What is considered an undevelopable critical area is a class one landslide hazard, riparian management zones, which is the area near streams, streams themselves, wetlands, floodplains. Those are the kind of what we consider undevelopable critical areas and their buffers. So that would, or that would limit the number of lots that are able, have the ability to go to two duplexes. That's one side. Those are all completely things that this, that CDC had recommended to limit the breadth of this change at the state law. The first half of the ordinance, though, deals with our utility code. And one of our big concerns with not being able to require homeowner to live on the property or to, and the ability to condominiumize, was the provision that they didn't have to have their own water meter. And so the utility codes were amended so that each ADU has its own water meter. Because the situation that we did not want to put the city in was the bill would go to the principal unit, which would be the main house, and the two other ADUs would not have a meter. And so if the people in the ADUs are not paying to the homeowner to keep the water on, they could have the water turned off, which affects the ADUs, or the ADUs are paying to the main homeowner and the homeowner's not paying their bill, the ADUs can get turned off. So we had some real public health safety concerns with not having the ability to require meters for ADUs. So the big amendments, and I would say the first, probably from page, sorry, I'm just getting the right page. Probably from page 63 of the packet that we provided to you tonight through page 84, really deal with the question of requiring separate sewer and water connections for ADUs so that they can stand alone on their own if they're condominiumized. That would not apply to any current ADU. So an ADU that's been in existence before this ordinance would pass, they can continue to operate like they have. If they condominiumize the property, the code would require that they didn't put the water meter in at that time. But, and that's how we're dealing with the existing ADUs. Going forward, no, all new ADUs are required to have that connection because it's much easier to put it in when you're initially constructing it than doing it after the fact. Because you would have to replumb a lot of the site in order to get the meters to run to each unit. So that's how we're dealing with the grandfathering of existing ADUs. And then those pages contain a lot of technical memorandums, technical amendments, just to provide clarity around definitions. So we're all using the same definition of duplex. We're using the same definition of ADU. There's not really any substantive changes. There are more housekeeping clarity changes, not changing regulations, just providing clarity so that utility billing, planning, engineering are all using the same definition set for ADU, townhouse, duplex, single family home, versus having different definitions in different chapters, which can create confusion. The big amendments that really, I think, come to the heart of the matter start on page 87 of your packet. And that's where we really get into the standards around when a second ADU is allowed, the sizes of ADUs. We kept, the state law requires that you have a maximum of at least 1,000, our current, or 40% of the principal structure, if it's attached, whichever is left. Last, we kind of merged all those rules to make it work under the new state law, which says we can't require, we have to allow at least up to 1,000. And so there's a table where we kind of now break that down so that we're consistent, and that's on page 89. And I think the big policy question is to the council, and after talking with Chair Fullerton, or I'm sorry, Councilmember Fullerton, was whether the council wanted to restrict where second ADUs were allowed or to just allow it on any lot and remove the critical area provisions that are in the code. I strongly recommend that we at least keep the utility stuff, because that is needed for protecting life and safety and access to water in the future, and not putting the city in the position of having to referee between different property owners on utility bills. Councilmember Fullerton.
I completely forgot what my question was. It had something to do with what you just said about the safety of the ADUs. Does it also help if you have a water meter that we can actually count how many ADUs that we have? So if the state were ever to come and say, hey, are you allowing, because right now we really can't tell how many ADUs we have in the city, even though we know we have a lot. So if we're adding a water meter, does that help us to be able to have more facts on how many ADUs that we have added to the city? So if the state ever comes by and says, hey.
I would think it would allow some sort of data point, because you would be, those would be listed in the utility billing as a ADU meter. And so I think then at least going forward, you'd know how many you built after the ordinance. Going back, I think it would be harder because they wouldn't have that, but it would allow for some tracking, because you would know who has an ADU meter and who doesn't, and how many you've added since the legislation passed.
Councilmember Daly.
I would think.
Thank you. Just, do you have an estimated cost that this might, upfront cost that might be to homeowners building ADUs, what this might add to their cost by adding them the extra utility meters?
Oh, I might have to do this from, I'd have, it basically they're going to end up paying, there will be more upfront cost because they're going to have to pay 77% of the connection charges. And I do not know what those are off the top of my head. If you give me a minute, I can quickly go through the code and can you pull it? I'm gonna have the city engineer pull up the codes, and we can at least tell you what the base system development charges are for sewer, water, and storm, and then they would be paying 77% of that.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't have that question for you earlier because we just got this today. So
yeah, no, I would. You just give me a minute. We can probably pull it up pretty quickly.
And then, well, as he's looking that up, did I read something in here also that then if the owner does maintain primary residency with the ADU, that some of these fees can be reduced, some of these impact fees? Did I see that correctly in here?
50% for
no, the state law required that currently ADUs are required to pay 100% of their impact fee, and we lowered it to 50% as required by state law.
And for any, even non-owner occupied?
Even for non-owner, for both.
For both.
What are the impact fees for that? It's like traffic impact fee. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just want to do that because
okay. Yes,
tracking,
we need that
so.
For the traffic.
Councilmember Fullerton, go ahead.
So the what are the impact fees that they're going to only have to pay 50% of that? Is it like traffic impact fees and
traffic, school, and park?
Councilmember Rock.
So this is one that's tricky because I don't want to deny a homeowner who's looking to build an ADU for their mother-in-law or their adult parents or an adult child that they want living with them. But it becomes a real issue when you know that there are developers looking for the opportunity to buy up even one single home, divided into three. And it's not even just using that as a rental opportunity. They can then condominiumize it and sell it off in three separate units, which, I mean, the utilities is a minimum, I think. But I would like to deter that as much as possible because I think it makes for a nightmare. It makes for a nightmare with parking. That's another thing. We had talked about parking. I don't know if we have specific stipulations in there that you have to have X amount of parking spots for every ADU. I know they did this in Tacoma. They didn't have to have parking spots. That's a complete nightmare. So while we want our constituents to be able to do this, we don't want developers coming in and just overhauling the city, putting in a ton of ADUs, condominiumizing it, and selling everything off. So.
Good point. Deputy Mayor Swatman.
Yeah, thank you. Do we have a current number of the permitted ADUs that are in the city? And we,
I don't know how many ADUs are in the city.
Because if they're in, I guess we have
right now 80.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's like residential units, when they come to count these things, it's
kind of like... we report every year how many we've added based on the number of building permits that we've issued. I think last year we built, I think we had three or four that got built. How many unpermitted ones, I don't know. But on the reports that we get back from OFM, it doesn't have a running total of the total number of ADUs that we have in the city. So I can tell you we reported three or four, maybe 77% of each one.
Okay.
How many we have total in the city? I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. We might have to capture that at some point. let's see. So touching on, Councilmember Rock's comments about condominiumizing is very accurate, of course, but and not an area that I've dealt with too much. Maybe you, with realtor, it seems to be that in Washington, that's extraordinarily difficult to deal with. Apparently, is why we don't have a lot of it. I think the laws are really apparently onerous or something to deal with that. But it's a great point, right? Because it's exactly what you don't want to happen, and that's the worry that I have about this particular ordinance, because the state's mandating us to do this, right? So we have an issue where the state says, hey, you need to make sure that these property owners can do that. And we have a couple of things that I think about, you know, the long range of the city and counting the residential units that are available. I think it's going to be difficult, you know, and we've always seen that as we move along in the years where the state says, hey, you have to allocate X number, hundreds more homes or residential units or whatever the terminology they happen to be using. And if we're able to demonstrate that, hey, we do have these various types of housing and we've added these types of housing over the years, then we don't get as much pressure or mandates to get stuck with what we... Well, I think everybody doesn't like to see a lot of overly, you know, condominiumized or apartments or high, really, really density kind of things that we end up having to do. So I worry about that, but I really come back to, you know, trying to figure out, you got an individual homeowner. This is a really sticky wicket that I, Councilmember McClyman's covered in committee really well. we have a lot of homeowners that have a large amount of, homes that are large. You know, there's a tremendous amount of people that have multi-level homes, like by the lake and everything else, right? Almost all of them happen to be split levels by the lake, right? So they're always looking, and in reality, they probably have, you know, unofficial kind of ADUs-ish or mother-in-laws or whatever in there. You know, I know of a few people that built a lot of homes over in the Fennel Ridge area that are specifically that way, that were arranged that way, but they're not official ADUs, so they don't get counted on this count or whatever the state would consider for residential units. And the last thing you want to do when you move into an area as a single-family homeowner is have the neighbor decide to build like three units next to you, and you moved into a single-family area, which I guess is probably, we're not supposed to call them single-family anymore. Isn't that kind of a no-no? The residential unit, whatever they're called. So the last thing you want to do is have the person next to you, you know, have 500 people living next to you all of a sudden. But yet, you know, the person next to you could be the nice old lady that's trying to stay in her home for the rest of her life, and she needs to be able to have some kind of a rent out of her home that she cannot afford anymore because the taxes are just horrific in this area. And an ADU may be a path to getting there. So, yeah, it's pretty tricky. The SDC situation, I would be interested in knowing, are we proposing some type of a water meter that's not? And, well, I don't know how you get over the SDC thing anyways, but is not connected to the main? Have we thought through all of that? Or is it just, it's like connected right there? We're not proposing a new main tap with that water meter?
Director Sullivan. The way we do it now is we have one tap that comes to the main and then goes out, and it splits, and then you have to two meters.
The multiple units.
Yeah. And yeah. So here, because you have three, you would have two basically taps to the main if you did the two ADUs.
Good. Yeah.
And then have all three meters right there by the roadside.
So that's good, because that brings the cost down to somewhat near reasonable. But again, they're paying SDC fees and everything on top of that. So, and the only thing that, if you think about it, in my mind, the only reason you put the SDCs or the connection fees or the requirements for that in the ADU is to prevent them from doing an ADU, right? So you get into this hard spot where it's kind of like, well, wait a minute, you know, do I want people to use their property to the best of their ability and be able to recover the most costs out of their property that they own, that they're paying taxes on? Yes. Do I want them to destroy the neighborhood while they're doing it? No. How do you figure that out? Right? So that's the tricky part. So I don't. To me, it's not a, you know, an easy binary decision. I appreciate all the work that all the committee's done and everything on that. So hopefully, you know, maybe there'll be good input from the Planning Commission public hearing where there's going to be throngs of people show up and have all these different opinions. Yeah, that'll be great. And we'll see, but I don't know. That's where I'm kind of stuck and worried about. I've heard many times over the years where, you know, there are a lot of ADU applications out there that are being done that nobody knows about, and they're just fine. But they're not permitted, so we can't take credit for them. So do we want to be able to take credit for them? And do we want to let people use their property? So that's kind of my basic high-level thought. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hubler has had her hand up.
So I have a clarifying question for Mr. Sullivan. I don't know if I heard this right. I thought I heard in... I don't remember who said it, but that any current ADUs will be basically kind of grandfathered in. Is that what I heard?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so they won't have to go through permitting processes.
How many we have?
Well, let me take that back. If it was legally permitted, which means they came in and got a permit to build an ADU, yes, they would not have to. They would not have to, if this ordinance passes. They would not have to connect a separate water or sewer meter because that was a legally permitted structure and they are grandfathered in until they go to condominiumize. If someone has built an ADU without any permits, when they apply for their actual permits, they would be subject to whatever rules are in effect the day they apply for their permit. So we know there are a lot of people who have built ADUs without permits. Once they apply, by state law, once they apply for their permits, they have to meet the rules in effect the day that they apply for their permits. So we really strongly encourage people not to build ADUs without the legally required permits, because if 5 or 6 years pass and then the next owner finds out it wasn't legally permitted and they come in and the codes have significantly changed, building codes, energy codes, those new codes apply to that ADU even if it had been there for 5 years because it was never legally permitted. What I was talking about grandfathering was just because they have an ADU and the ordinance passes, they're not going to have to go and put in the separate water meter. They'll be able to continue to operate like they have. The only time that they would be required to put it in is if they condominiumize the property. And that's the big concern is, and the reason that we're pushing hard for it to be at permit issuance is because we don't control condominiumization. There is nothing that they do with us for condominiumization is completely all done at the county level. So we won't even know it's happening until we run across it. So that's why we are strongly encouraging that the ADU just be set up for whatever the property owner wants to do from the time of its construction. Condominiumization on multifamily for condos, for multifamily is tough because you have to certify that you're not going to have water intrusion. That was some of the big issues with that. If you have three houses that are not attached to each other, a lot of those standards become a lot easier to jump over. And there's been a lot of changes in the condominiumization laws to make it easier to condominiumize. Will it have a big effect? I don't know. We'd have to see how those laws play out. I do have those numbers if you want me to discuss the SDCs and impact fees. We were able to pull those numbers together.
Go ahead.
Okay. So for SDCs, our current SDCs for single family homes that were established by our rate structure 2 years ago, two or three years ago, we did a rate analysis and that's what sets it. So it's not just a number we pull out. It's based on a rate analysis for the basically the value of your water system as constructed by the city. So that's the big key. There, people are purchasing into that value that previous rates and taxpayers have paid for. So for water, it's about, for water, the SDC is $5,766. For sewer, it's $11,927. And for storm, it's $1,665. Currently, in the code, it says if you want a separate meter, you would pay 77% for an ADU. We have maintained that through the code because that was what was in the code when the rate structure was passed. Which, so that would mean for an ADU would be $4,439 for water, $9,183 for sewer, and $1,232 for the storm. Grand total is $14,905 as compared to $19,358 for a single family home. So that's kind of what your SDCs are looking like. And those are, like I said, they're based on projects that are coming into the system that we need to pay to build, and also kind of the value of that system that was constructed by the taxpayer. So you exclude private development in assessing that value. For impact fees, and we'll be bringing new impact fee studies to you as we update traffic and park, but currently the traffic impact fee is $5,490, and it hasn't been adjusted in, I think, over a decade. And 50% of that, as required by state law, would be $2,745.31. The TIF, that was PIP, I apologize. Park impact fees are $5,490.61. 50% would be $2,745.31. Traffic impact fees would be $3,755. That's the one that hasn't been adjusted for a decade. And 50% would be $1,877.50. The school impact fee, years ago, the policy had always been from the council that we basically have the same school impact fee that the unincorporated Pierce County has around us. So years ago, we basically just adopted Pierce County's school impact fee code by reference so that when the county changes it, we change ours automatically, and there's parity between the county and the city for school impact fees. And that right now is $4,545. 50% would be $2,722.50.
Thank you.
So one side of the fees are going down, one side they're going up.
Deputy Mayor Swantman.
Thank you. Did we touch on the HOA issue yet? I don't remember if the full, because the other council members are, may or may not be fully informed on what the scenario is over the HOA, right? Because while the city's required to do certain things with the laws and everything with, aligned with the state's application there, the HOA is an extra layer, and my understanding is the HOA still have the ability to basically say no to a ADU in a civil law kind of aspect. They can't prevent the city from issuing a permit. Is that where
it depends? So I'll go back to the base, and then I'll talk about the city's responsibility. When they pass the legislation, if a HOA had regulations around ADUs at the time the legislation passed, those are still fine. If a HOA tried to pass new bylaws after HB 1337 passed that outlawed ADUs or changed how ADUs were done, by state law, those bylaws are null and void. And so there is some preemption there on their level too as well. So if it existed before the law, it can stay. If they can't add it after the law passed, not our local legislation, the state legislation back in June of 2024. The city is not the police agent for HOAs or the enforcement agent for HOAs. So if an HOA, for example, said, we don't want ADUs in our neighborhood, the city would still be bound and required to issue the permit once it met our minimum requirements, and then the property owners would have to take that matter up in court in a civil lawsuit. We cannot stop someone from getting, it would be the same if, yeah, if an HOA said you can't have a shed, we would still issue the permits for a shed.
Yep.
you know, we cannot legally enforce those private covenants. And so whether HOA does or doesn't isn't really binding on the city.
Do we happen to know how many HOAs have ADU restrictions?
No, because we didn't look into it because we're not the enforcement agent for the HOAs.
Because my line of thinking, of course, is that I would hope that when you move into an HOA that they have the rules and regulations that met your expectations of what you were expecting when you're in there. But I'm hearing that, you know, this new requirement, I don't know, maybe Councilmember McClyman's being in an HOA knows. I don't think my HOA has any restrictions on ADUs. I could be wrong, but they have an architectural review committee like normal, but I don't know if that applies. I don't know if anybody else happens to know what theirs looks like. Does the Sky Island have restrictions on ADUs? I'm hearing a yes.
Councilmember Fullerton.
Thank you. Yes, HOA at Sky Island does have those restrictions, and I think we even have like some pretty strict restrictions on what kinds of sheds we can even build.
That's why I bring the shed one up. We've had this conversation.
Right, yeah. So if you move into Sky Island, you're grandfathered in that you can't build an ADU, it sounds like.
And I think right now the direction we're looking from the council is primarily around the, do we want to keep the tighter regulations around the second ADU that says if you have a critical area, if you have a 303 water body that is considered impaired, which would be Lake Taps. I think it's still on the list. It might have been removed. But if it was, in those areas, do you want to say, nope, no second ADUs? That is totally within the policy framework of the city council.
Councilmember Fullerton.
And that would also be the septic, correct? You wanted.
Yeah, and the septic, no ADU, no second ADU. This is where we did a weird thing is if you have one ADU, you can still use septic. If you have a second ADU, then you need to go on to city sewer.
What was the, there was another kind of a rule that they would have to build a water pump or something if they were on septic they could upgrade.
Oh, that's the grinder pump. Right now,
grinder pump
around Lake Taps, Lake Neighbor Jane, Lake Bonnie. We have about 87 private or publicly owned grinder pumps that we put in the 1970s with a federal grant that we own and operate. They were sized for two residential units, not six. And so the policy has been we're trying to de-invest ourselves from those private grinder pumps as the property owners want to take them over. So one of the things that we added to the ordinance is that if you're on a private grinder pump or a public grinder pump, you can only have two units going into that public grinder pump because that's all it was sized for. The holding tank is about the size of a bathtub. And when we have a power outage, we actually have to drive around and take a portable generator to all, and we have two crews that work 24 hours a day, driving around to all the homes to turn the grinder pumps on so we can lower that holding tank because after about 24 hours, it's full up again. The ordinance, the legislation we changed in here is if you're on a publicly owned grinder pump, it can only be two units. We're not allowing any additional new units to be attached to those 1970 grinder pumps. So you have two options. You can install a separate private grinder pump that goes directly to the city sewer, or you can take over that private grinder system, enlarge the tank, and take over ownership and put as many units in it, you know, all units in it if you wanted to. That, not mandated, but that would be your option on that private grinder pump.
Deputy Mayor Swatman.
I had a question about a configuration. Is there any differentiation between, you know, if you're going to do an ADU in your existing building, there's only one building on the lot and you're living in it, it's a triplex or whatever, and you say you want to do the ADU in the bottom level or what have you, as opposed for SDCs in reference to whether I have to do new sewer and water connections for that configuration, or is it different from, you know, I want to build a separate building and I'm going to make a little ADU over there, a grandma house.
Under the current configuration, there would be no difference because both of them can be condominiumized.
Oh, okay.
Well, I said there couldn't be, but that's the driving factor is that condominiumization.
Okay.
Remember Rock.
And in regard to that, you have to think too, if they're condominiumizing it and selling off the lower level, you're adding additional bodies in the home, therefore mm-hmm. adding more to the grinder pump. So you would still want additional grinder pumps or bigger grinder pumps anyway, I would think.
You could, but of course, keep in mind, you don't regulate how many people live in the house now, right?
True.
It's the flip side of that.
Most common, I would say, though, you can't make it for your other family well, or at least.
Yeah, I think it depends on how you look at it. Currently, right now, no, we don't regulate the number of people living in a household. There are some fire code provisions around how many people you can have in a bedroom to be safely considered a bedroom. You know, there's not a specific regulation on how many people. On average, our single family homes have about 3 people in them per unit. That's the average across the city. Which is actually relatively high. Most cities are down to 2.5 to 2.6. So hanging out at 3, you know, that's high. Even our average for all housing units is 2.9. So that's still pretty, it's still pretty high.
I'm working on that scenario where our aging population,
yeah, and, right?
You know,
and so,
where the children have left or they've, you know, left and now the adults are there and they got the great big house and they're like, what the heck do we do with this thing? And, you know, I want to put the mother-in-law in the basement, if you will, for a while. And then when it's an ADU, then unfortunately they pass away after a while and you're still left with a couple and they're like, well, you know, we got that ADU. Why don't we rent it out to this college kid or whatever, right? But, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in theory, what we would do for determining the population is each, since they are independent living units, they would have somewhere between 2 and 3 people living in them. So you would assume that a building that has 2 ADUs would have at least 5 to 6 people on average living in there.
Councilmember Fullerton.
Yeah, so my thought on this, I've kind of voiced my opinion to pretty much everybody in the room, but for the first time in forever, not forever, but for never, because when do we have an opportunity where the state is actually giving homeowners back property rights and allowing them to put something on, to build something on their property? So my thinking is the least amount of restrictions as possible. But I do understand the need to be able to regulate water, especially if it gets condominiumized, where you end up having like a 3-story house and every single level gets sold off as a separate unit. Then if you only have 1 water meter and the person who's the main owner of that water meter, then, and they decide, oh, I'm not going to pay everybody else's bill, so they're not paying enough, then everybody's water gets shut off. And we have a safety and health concern there. So I could see if you're going to condominiumize that you would definitely need to add water meters to each level or each separate unit that gets sold off. And probably... I know I used to live in a mother-in-law house, so when I got my bills, it came as like my address with unit B. So we had A and B. The A was the main unit, and if I didn't pay my bill, then my stuff got shut off, but theirs didn't. So I don't know if that means that I had a separate meter or not. That was for electricity. But...
Yeah, it could have been either way. They could have had their own private deduct meter, so they knew how much mm-hmm. they were paying versus mm-hmm. how much you were paying. But we can't mandate those deduct meters. So this really has to deal with us being able to control the water and sewer.
Councilmember McClymans.
Yeah. So I really like this council with this good discussion because this really is a problem, right? Where there is a property right with some incentivization for condominiumization that could violate the implicit contract that a lot of people who bought homes in Bonnie Lake thought they had with having a single-family neighborhood that turns into multi-family, just a chain of multi-family homes. So I think for the public record, I don't think staff and council right now, it doesn't appear to me, wants to monetize this as an opportunity to make money for the city. The idea is to try to put in some sort of reasonable controls to de-emphasize or de-incentivize the condominiumization so that the single-family neighborhoods will stay single-family neighborhoods. I have talked to, it's less than 100 so far. I've got less than 100 responses, but there's a lot of constituents. They're like, ADUs, okay. You know, I'm okay with that. A lot of ADUs, no. A lot of cars, no. And then, it's the parking thing is probably what a lot of them really pick up on, is that how are we going to park in some of the neighborhoods, right? So anyway, it's an interesting problem that we're going to have to solve. I still don't know the right solution, so I appreciate your hard work to try to come up with a good solution. Well, there is no good solution. That we're going to definitely be picking between the lesser of two evils.
Director Sullivan?
And I would say our window is closing. We have to adopt this at the June 10th meeting because in order to make sure it's effective by July 1st. So one thing I failed to mention was that if we do not adopt new regulations come July 1st, the state's kind of baseline rule goes into effect, which is anything in our code that conflicts with state law is automatically deemed null and void, and you have to allow two ADUs on every lot regardless of any of these other issues.
Councilmember Rock.
Can we enact anything that says you can have one ADU and not two?
No.
We can't.
No, that's the heart of the state law that said all cities must allow two.
I just want to say thank you to council for this discussion. Thank you, Jason, for bringing this forward, you and your team. It is a difficult discussion, and difficult. There's no real winner to come out of this. I would say, unfortunately, you only get one bite at the apple, essentially, on this one, to protect neighborhoods and to protect those single-family kind of residences and whatnot. And so I think that's where I would lean, in that we have to protect the majority of those and the culture of our neighborhoods. Anyone else want to say anything? Councilmember Fullerton.
So I guess the question is, I definitely want the staff to feel supported. I want the Planning Commission to have a definite idea of what the council is thinking. Sounds like the majority is lean on the conservative side. And so does that help? Do you have any, like, do you want some definite, you know, do you want this, do you want that?
I guess I could run through a quick list of questions and I can get head nodding, and I think I can go.
Yeah.
If we need to change the ordinance, do we want to require separate water meters for ADUs?
Are we just doing like a
thumb? Yeah, thumbs up would be fine.
Okay.
You'd also give me a if you're on the fence still. Okay, we'll leave those provisions that require separate utility connections in for ADUs. The other one is, do you want to prohibit ADU, the second ADU, from going on the property if it's on septic? Okay, so that one I got pretty good thumbs up across the board. Do you want to leave the provisions in there that says you cannot have a second ADU if you have an undevelopable critical area on your property? I'm not seeing any thumbs down, so we'll leave the ordinance as it is and go to the Planning Commission with the public hearing and then bring it back for council action on the June 10th, because the 17th is canceled for...
24th for AW.
Okay, yeah, we have the 10th and the 17th.
I see Councilmember Hubler.
To get it done.
Question as well here. Councilmember Hubler?
Mr. Sullivan, on that last piece of whether it has undevelopable land, could there be restrictions on size? What if somebody has 5 or 6 acres of land and they have an undevelopable area, but it's only like 1 acre where they still have 4 acres that is developable? Could there be a size restriction on having two ADUs just for those people that do have the larger?
The short answer is I don't know. Right now, the city doesn't have a minimum lot size, and the state law says, well, you don't have to allow ADUs on lots that don't meet the minimum lot size. We have been hesitant to add a minimum lot size, because for over 20 years, we haven't had a minimum lot size. And so property owners have, when they've done subdivisions, have picked differing lot sizes based as long as they don't go past the density threshold. The challenge would be if you establish a minimum lot size and say it's 6,000 square feet. Any lot that's below 6,000 square feet would be considered a non-conforming lot. So when their title company calls and says, is there anything non-conforming on this lot, we'd have to say the lot is non-conforming. Is it a huge deal to us? No, but I know it causes sometimes problem in the title side. And so we've been hesitant to add lot sizes. When it comes to critical areas, I don't know how we would get, what lot we would have to get to that. We don't have actually a lot of really large 5-acre tracts left. And the ones that I do know about are either 99 or 100% encumbered by critical areas. So I don't know if there are a lot of those large lots that are in the R1 that don't have a lot of critical areas on them. And I don't know what the right percentage would be. Is it 1 acre? Is it 2 acres? Is it 3 acres? What I could say and what I could recommend is, if that's something the council's really interested in, is we add that to the work plan and let us do the research and come back with an amendment to the ordinance at a later date. Ordinance isn't set in stone. We just are trying to get it done before July 1st so that we have our baseline regulations in place before the July 1 date. So if there's if there's tweaking that we want to do after that, that's fine, because we have our baseline standards in place on day one. And if that's something the council wants us to look into, we'll look into it and come back with a recommendation next year, you know, later this year, early next year, on the critical area question.
Councilmember Fullerton.
Yeah, Councilmember Hubler brought up a really good point with lot size, because when I'm thinking of critical areas, of course, living on a bluff, I'm thinking, I live on a bluff, and I live on a postage stamp, so I don't think I could put an ADU, even if I didn't live in a HOA. So I don't know where I would put it, but say you have somebody, I'm sure we have plenty of people that have 3/4 acre or an acre left in Bonnie Lake. So do we really want to restrict, if somebody's living, you know, partially on a green belt that's not restricted, or that is restricted, but there's certain parts of the property that's not restricted, do we really want to put that in there? Can we, like you said, we can change that later, but that would definitely have to be something that we would want to look at, because there are still a lot of properties that have, you know, more than a half an acre here in Bonnie Lake.
So yes on the first two, work plan on the last one.
That would be my recommendation, to come up with that analysis and get it done before June 10th would be impossible.
And Councilmember Rock?
Difficult.
For clarification on the critical areas question, that's just to prohibit a second ADU?
Correct.
So they can still have an ADU.
Okay.
That would just prohibit a second unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, since we currently allow ADUs on lots that contain critical areas, we didn't want to remove that provision from them. So we said it only applies when you go for that second ADU.
Mm. Is that all your questions? Oh, Councilmember Fullerton.
I think I'd be okay with it if we're going to bring that back and have more discussion after the fact. Like, because you said we can pass the ordinance about the critical areas, because even though I'm saying if somebody has a half an acre and they want a second ADU, because now, you know, of course, all of our property taxes are going to be are skyrocketing at this point. Doesn't matter where you live in the state of Washington. So, I mean, if I could build an ADU, that would be a really great way to pay my property taxes at this point. So
I would say we can bring it back, but it would be 2026. I mean, in all honesty, it would be a 2026 work plan item. We have got to get our comp plan finished by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And so we need to get kind of, this was something we had to get done because of the July 1 deadline. The other deadline is December 31st. After that, we're kind of on this flexible program right now where they're not being too hard on us, because we told them we'd be done by the end of the year. We're already 6 months overdue. So yes, we can bring it back, but in reality, it would be a 26 work plan item.
Sounds good. Good to go. All right. Thank you, everyone. We will now adjourn the council meeting and go into an executive session for 10 minutes with no action to follow per RCW 4230.1101G to discuss the qualifications of an applicant for public employment or to review the performance of a public employee, however, subject to RCW 42.30.1404, discussion by a governing body of salaries, wages, and other conditions of employment to be generally applied within the agency shall occur in a meeting open to the public and when a governing body elects to take final action hiring, setting the salary of an individual employee or class of employees, or discharging or disciplining an employee, that action shall be taken in a meeting open to the public. You are adjourned.
Just kept going.
Yes, it did.
Did you relive it at one point or something?
I still do.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, but ADUs, does that make it more valuable for the homeowner?
Well, it depends. Do you own? Well, of course, having an additional unit adds value to the home, but once it's been like super.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
Do you own the land?